This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera. And, well, it is good to be back finally. I think last week I did not do a podcast. Well, not I think. I know I didn't do a podcast. And it was really after the whole, the entire transfer saga, the Mbappe thing, and then after the game, I think it was after the game with Levante. And essentially, I did a podcast with our good friends from the Madridista Roundabout, and then things got busy. The problem is sometimes things get busy at work, and then I just, it's so hard for me to jump on the podcast as quickly as I would like. The idea is essentially, obviously, to bring you a one every single weekend, but then after, obviously, the transfer window, and then essentially, we went on international break, so I took a break for that weekend. I didn't do anything about the international break, and I just said, hey, you know what, I'm going to do one when we come back. So that is essentially why I am back now. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you again for supporting the podcast. I, once again, am your host, Eric Rivera. And just to get some social media stuff out of the way, you can follow me. I am always pretty much active on Twitter, at Y Nada Más Podcast. That is my, I don't have like a personal account, so I just tweet using Y Nada Más Podcast, because I wasn't much of a Twitter person before. So essentially I just started doing using Twitter. Well, I mean, I've done Twitter before, but essentially I just started using Twitter more for the podcast and for the website and essentially for what I'm doing here, reaching out to other fans and things like that. So I use Y Nada Más Podcast essentially as my Twitter. That is what I use it for. On Instagram and on Facebook, I have like a personal account, but you guys are not going to get access to that. No, you can check us out at Y Nada Más Podcast on Facebook and then at YNM Podcast on Instagram. In addition, check out our YouTube channel, which is where I'm broadcasting this currently. So if you're not listening, or if you are listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can always catch the video version of the podcast. I think we've been doing about four or five now. You can catch the video version of the podcast on our YouTube channel, which is Y Nada Más Podcast. Just look it up on YouTube and you will find the channel. In addition to that, check out the channel that I'm doing with my good friend Jota Real Madrid. We call the channel Real Madrid Hub, and it's pretty much all the news, daily news coming out in English on Real Madrid Hub. I do a news piece pretty much once every single day, and then he does multiple uploads throughout the day, really. So it's a great spot for you guys to catch pretty much everything you want with Real Madrid, all the news coming out from Diario Marca, Diario AS, all the big ones, Mundo Deportivo, Diario ABC, wherever, the news is coming out of, Diario Madridista, that kind of stuff. We're translating it to English, and we're essentially giving you all, the scoop right there about what's going on with Madrid at that time, daily, essentially. So that is where you can find me on that. You can also find info at Y Nada Más Podcast. Info at inadamas.net is our email. If you want to send me any updates, if you want to send me information, if you're looking to be a writer for our page, we are still getting names and we are still sending out some emails. So I will get my guy on that. And then a couple of us will be answering you in that case to get some of you guys that are interested in writing for the podcast as we're getting more and more people on board with that. So that's awesome. In addition to that, really, you can check the website out, inadamas.net. If you don't follow us, of course, anywhere else, or only on social media, or only on, if you found it on YouTube or whatnot, and you want to catch up on different articles and things that have been written by your good friend Trombach, you can check it out there at inadamaspodcast. Inadamas.net. That is our website. So with all that said, guys, it has been a fantastic day. a fantastic week. Not a week, I would say, but a fantastic day of football. Today is Sunday, September 12th, when I'm recording this. And essentially, we just won a great game against Celta Vigo at the Santiago Bernabeu. And there was a lot of things to celebrate today, I think. There were some things, obviously, you know, there's some things that are, of course, worrisome. But there are some things that essentially made us all very, very happy. So, you know, going back to the Santiago Bernabeu was a huge deal, was something that made us all very happy. You know, going back to the stadium again, it's been 560 days since Real Madrid last played at the Santiago Bernabeu, essentially due to COVID, but also due to the fact that they were, you know, that the stadium was under construction because they are basically remodeling the entire stadium. But of course, in that time, you know, COVID also hit, and so that was a whole issue. So obviously, there was the return was something, it was something big. You know, a lot of us were looking forward to it, and I think it really delivered. I mean, one of the things that always kind of worries you in these kind of big things, when, you know, we're going to return back and it's kind of making a big story out of it, is essentially that it could possibly give the opposing team a reason to really spoil the party. And believe me, they tried. I mean, if you guys were watching Celta Vigo, we gave them the opportunity. They actually scored the first goal of the game. Then we equalized, and then they scored again. So essentially, when I was watching the game, it was worrisome. We thought they were going to spoil the party. But then, of course, in the second half, Real Madrid came alive, and then, you know, we end up winning the game 5-2. It was spectacular. A lot of, you know, a lot of things, a lot of stories, a lot of narratives going around, essentially, you know, this game, and it just really gave us a taste of everything. I was very happy with the game. I was very unhappy with some things, but very happy with other things. And ultimately, we're about to get into that. But right before that, let's just celebrate at the fact that we won this game and that Real Madrid is scoring goals again. So yeah, I mean, spectacular, absolutely spectacular, great stuff, you know, seeing Real Madrid scoring goals again. I think it was something that we would see on Twitter all the time, which was essentially, we would see it, you know, when was the last time Madrid scores goals, you know, when was the last time we score more than one goal or get a goal in the first half or really run up the score line, you know, something that we were used to seeing. I mean, I remember, actually, speaking of Celta de Vigo, I remember a game. Man, when was this game? It was like, I have the one of the desktops, the wallpapers as my desktop on the computer. But essentially, it was like, I think it was 7-2 that we scored. And I think, you know, it was a spectacular game. And it was also against Celta Vigo. It was when Cristiano was still here. So obviously, you know, it's before, you know, 2018, 2017, I believe it could have been. But, you know, So let's get started. I mean, going into this game, there were a lot of things, I guess. There are a lot of things that are still kind of up in the air. Essentially, you know, David Alaba, you know, actually was injured during the international break, playing for Austria. So he was not going to be available. Ferlan Mendy has recovered, but he wasn't available for this game. It was said he was going to be, but he was not available. He didn't even feature on the bench, so hopefully there's nothing serious, or he didn't, fall again. I mean, sorry, it didn't, not fall. You know, he didn't have a issue with his or a re-injury or anything like that, because he wasn't even featured on the substitute list. So essentially, he wasn't even on the bench. But, you know, hopefully it seems like he's getting back into shape. And along with Kudos, then Gareth Bale actually got injured apparently in training. So he's out, which is, you know, unfortunately, the story of Gareth Bale throughout much of his career. Injuries have played a factor, and, you know, he did spectacular during the international break. So hopefully he's on the mend and he can get back as quick as possible. But, you know, so there was a lot of different things going on there. And, of course, we're waiting on different players to make their way back. But Modric featured again, and it was actually a great game for Modric. Because, you know, we'll get into it a little bit later, but he essentially, as he came off the pitch, you know, Santiago Bernabeu finally with fans stands up, gives the guy a standing ovation. I mean, essentially showcasing everything they love about Luka Modric. And I think a lot of this past season, essentially away from the fans, that last season that he put so much effort into the game, him and Toni Kroos actually, you know, pretty much bending over backwards, playing an insane amount of minutes, looking so talented. I mean, just showcasing his talent, looking so incredible in that past season that he really did, we've talked about it on Twitter. I've seen it on Twitter, you know, that the effort that Toni Kroos and Luka Modric put into last season really, and even Benzema, really did deserve something more than walking away essentially trophyless, you know. And I think that's what the Bernabeu was standing up for, essentially paying, you know, I would say they were just giving him thanks for a multitude of things. You know, the performance last season, his performance last season, you know, the fact that he's 36 years old and he just turned 36 recently, of course. And the fact that he's still playing the way he plays, you know, I would say taking the pay cut that he took, you know, renewing for another year, you know, all of that stuff, the things he said about Real Madrid, you know, the Madridista that he is, I think he really deserved that. I mean, and I'm coming from a somewhat of a biased spot because I am a huge Luka Modric fan. And I, you know, if you guys are just tuning in and listening now, you know, he's probably, I would say, my favorite player on Madrid right now. He's been my favorite player for years now. I mean, my son is six. I named him Lucas after Luka Modric because of the fact that when I told my wife that I wanted to name him Luka, everybody thought it was a strange name, at least for here in the United States. And I wanted to spell it exactly the same with a K and everything. But we, you know, decided to go with the Hispanic version of Luka, which is Lucas. So that is why my son is named Lucas. And, you know, it's after Luka Modric being a phenomenal player, one of my all-time favorite players. And I'm just so it kind of hurts me to kind of think that this might be his last season at Real Madrid, or it could be his last season at Real Madrid, that we are really seeing possibly the final season of Luka Modric at Real Madrid, the final season. We know that it's going to be the final season of Luka Modric with Croatia. I mean, he will play with them in the World Cup, I think. I mean, I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think, you know, it's something that is coming to an end as well. And he's just such a phenomenal player, you know, and that standing ovation really, really, you know, really was something nice to see from the fans. And I swear, if I was in Madrid, which, you know, my goal is to go to Madrid this year now that hopefully, you know, COVID and all this stuff that's going on is winding down, but essentially, or hopefully you're winding down, you know, and there's no more variants or crazy variants pop up. But my goal is to really head to Madrid this season and see, you know, the team and see them play and hopefully catch Luka Modric before he retires, because that would be huge for me as a huge Luka Modric fan. So starting with the game, going back to the game, obviously that was something that happened during the game. And we'll talk about a little bit why in a second. But so the game starts out. And really, the one thing that I think is worrisome about this, about Real Madrid as of late, and worrisome from what we've been seeing right now, is the fact that it's very much Carlo Ancelotti, and the fact that we score a lot of goals. So he's basically turned this team once again into a team that's very, very focused on attack, a team that's very, very focused on scoring goals. He's definitely getting the best out of the players when it comes to the attack, and that is something that we, you know, we absolutely love. But the other side of the equation is, with Carlo Ancelotti's style of football and his style of being very, very attacking-minded, losing the likes of Sergio Ramos and Rafael Varane has been very visible. I mean, we played against Levante. We conceded three goals. Now we played against Celta Vigo and we conceded two goals. And this was a Celta Vigo that had not been able to score, as of late. And so them getting those goals was obviously an issue. We're going to play Valencia, who just put four goals past Osasuna today. They are looking solid. They have not lost the game. So, it's very important that defensively we become more sound. Eder Militao looks nothing like he did last season, at the end of last season. Who knows if it's because when a player is under pressure, knowing that he has to perform because, he is the second in command, or essentially he's second on the chopping block, or not on the chopping block, but second in the pecking order is what I was trying to get at. You know, he's not the starter. He is trying to prove himself. But now that essentially the way everything is structured with the team, it's Nacho and Militao as pretty much the starters. Who knows if that is not lit a fire under them, or if it's still maybe today the event, the size of the event, the feeling, the emotions of the event got to them. Because it wasn't only Militao made a mistake, but Nacho also made many mistakes. I mean, he essentially had a hand in the first goal by Celta Vigo, was very much at fault for being way out of position and going for a tackle all the way in midfield on the, for the second goal, which caused the entire Real Madrid defense to be out of shape. Out of position. So essentially, he had to run back, and that was what helped Celta Vigo score a second goal. There was nobody covering, essentially. So those situations, especially those two, which are supposed to be our backbone, because it's Nacho and Militao, and then possibly Alaba, although, we're hearing more that Alaba is going to be playing at left back, and maybe Mendy will be playing at center back. But we are really missing them. Essentially, we were really missing that defensive, strength that Mendy brings and that Alaba kind of brings to the table. Miguel Gutierrez is a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal player for his age. He's only 21 years old. I do think that today the game got to him. The first mistake is essentially, he's the one who essentially gives out the ball away for the first goal. He essentially gives the ball away. Casemiro tries to tackle to make a recovery. The ball bounces. Nacho kicks it back. It bounces off. I don't remember who it was, either if it was Santi Mina or Iago Aspas, but it bounces off one of them, and it basically falls to Santi Mina in order for him to score. So essentially it was just a lot of bad luck, but we're seeing that it happened with Levante too, where they just, kind of turned off, and then essentially in the pinball sort of esque action there in the defense, the ball just isn't cleared correctly, so it falls at the feet of oncoming strikers from the other team, and they end up getting an easy goal. And that is essentially what happened with the goal, the first goal. And then the second goal, I really would say that it was more of Nacho's fault, obviously, being out of position. There was nobody really back there except for Militao. And even so, Franco Cervi misses the back heel, but the bounce just falls to him favorably. But so it was a little bit of luck, but also, just the fact that the team was out of position, but I would say they were lucky in a sense. We were lucky in a sense that the fact that Real Madrid's attacking is so, that right now the attacking, that our forwards seem to be meshing so well, is what essentially is kind of, glossing over the fact that there is some serious defensive issues, and that we're worried about those defensive issues. Those defensive issues could cost us, of course, when we face other teams that are not only good attacking, but are also good defensively, you know? So, you know, it's not always going to be a chance that you're going to be scoring five goals like we were able to put past Celta Vigo today. So we have to be both strong, and especially more for the, I don't know so much for La Liga this season. I mean, but, you know, obviously Atletico is a more powerful team. Barcelona would be a more powerful team. Valencia is going to be another test, of course, because their form has greatly improved. So we're going to have to, that test of not conceding goals is really going to be important for us as we move forward. It could be that they just haven't meshed well. They haven't gotten used to each other yet. Nacho and Militao now kind of, you know, feeling essentially that now the pressure is on them because they are the starters. That could all play into it. And essentially that they have to get that chemistry, both of them working together consistently. Now, who knows what will happen? Will Militao take a step aside? Will Nacho take a step aside? I think more so from what we're seeing right now that Militao would be the one to step aside, and we might see a Ferlan Mendy Nacho back line along with Alaba or possibly Gutierrez. Carvajal, of course, is essential as a right back. So we're going to see, it's going to be interesting to see how the defense plays out this season, but it's going to be very important. Very important, and we can't stress the importance of that enough, is essentially that back line has to be has to start fixing up these errors, because, you know, when it comes to the Champions League, we cannot afford to be giving up goals like that. You know, especially, you know, we're going to be playing Inter on Wednesday. That's, you know, their last season's champions. Yes, they're not going to be, they don't have Lukaku now, but they still are a quality team. So we cannot give up dumb goals to the likes of Inter. You know, we were able to beat them last season with the team that we currently have. So I could see us still being able to get one up on them. But still, you know, you just don't want to be giving away these things. We don't want to be giving away dumb goals. I mean, if somebody scores a screamer that there was really no way for you to get to it, I mean, you know, that's one thing. If they get if they're on a breakaway, a beautiful pass or something, all the way, let's say from the defense, or they a beautiful through ball or something, and they're just running at you. There's some things that are hard to stop from happening. But in this case, every single goal we conceded has been a goal that did not need to happen. You know. Versus Levante, we had the same situation. We had goals that did not need to happen. Just defensive, you know, falling asleep defensively. But the other side of the coin, of course, is that the attack has been phenomenal. The attack has been phenomenal, and it has all been really on the shoulders of two guys so far. You know, definitely Benzema and definitely Vinicius. I mean, let's talk first. I mean, obviously Benzema's first goal, you know, and there are other aspects that are playing well. I mean, Valverde is definitely showing another level. I mean, he's definitely showing that our midfield, you know, to make a side note here, is our midfield is looking, you know, with the likes of Modric, Casemiro did look tired today. He did look out of sorts today, to be honest with you. But Valverde is definitely coming into his own. What a phenomenal player that he is. And he essentially, you know, his pace, his drive, his passion for the team. I mean, he's essentially, we have players, and this is the great thing about Madrid that I think it goes, that is very much, I think, ingrained in the way many Madridistas look at the players that are on our team. And the thing is, we see the players on our team as what is just as important as them being skilled players is players that give it all for Real Madrid. You know, it is one, I think every team looks at that. It's a team that is a player that really gives everything he has on the pitch. I mean, I think fans are willing to excuse some mistakes here and there. You know, obviously, if they're consistent. consistent mistakes, because that shows a lack of focus, just a lack of skill could be. But I think we as Madridistas are willing to give players a benefit of the doubt if we see that their dedication, if we see that they just supposedly, you know, their dedication, their passion, their commitment to the crest, to their commitment to the shield, their commitment to, you know, the jersey is just huge, you know, that the commitment is there, that the commitment is, how would I say, unrivaled, you know. They want to be there. They want to try their best. They feel terrible when they lose. And I think we just have such a solid core group of players that have instilled that Madridismo into Real Madrid. The likes of our backline, I mean, the likes of our midfield, guys like Casemiro, guys like Modric, guys like Toni Kroos. I mean, just hearing them speak, the Madridismo, they just have it in them. They love the team. They're willing to do everything for the team. Benzema is another one that is an absolute leader. You know, Sergio Ramos, before he left, you know, and you could say, yes, he left for money or whatever, or whatever what happened was, but he was a player that gave that to the rest of the squad. Nacho has that. I believe Lucas Vázquez, of course, has that. Carvajal has that. We have a lot of players that exude that, you know. They just have that in them. And it is fantastic to see that some of our young guys definitely have that, which is why I'm saying Valverde, you know, his run to get the ball, his pullback, you know, his pullback to get to Benzema in order to score the first goal, you know, essentially was the reason that first goal could happen and we could get that equalizer. You know, it's that dedication, it's that passion that he has. It's that what we've seen, you know, dropping to his knees even and yelling and screaming and celebrating a goal that he didn't even score. You know, we've seen that from him. We're seeing that from Vinicius. I mean, Vinicius is a player that has been hot and cold for many of us Madridistas. Part of us were like, yes, we want to have confidence in him because when he shines, he shines. But then he was inconsistent, and there were times where he would just be frustrating to watch, you know? And I was even one of the ones that criticized him. I was like, how long? And I think you can go back to some of my podcasts, and I would tell you, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have to own up to my mistakes. I mean, I have in past podcasts said, how long is Madrid willing to wait for Vinicius for him to reach the potential that supposedly everybody on the team saw for him? I mean, there were obviously reports. Now, you know, we don't know how to take these reports, but there were reports from El Chiringuito and different places saying that many people within the Madrid locker room felt like Vinicius was never going to be a star, like he was never going to reach that potential. But to see what he's doing now, and how he's played, he's essentially right now, I think, what is he, the top goal scorer right now for Real Madrid and also for La Liga. The thing that's interesting to see about Vinicius is the kid is what, 22 years old, 21, 22 years old. The amount of, I guess, criticism he's had to endure, jokes made at his expense, memes, you know, the Vinicius Ballon de Oro, the jokes from Cristóbal Soria from El Chiringuito, the, you know, I guess maybe even from other sectors of the press in Spain, just completely, you know, saying that, the you know, Vinicius at the end of the day seemed like a failure, or that, yes, he has talent, but that talent doesn't really help at all if he cannot score or make decisions, proper decisions in the final third. To see what he's done in these just past few games. And that's not to say that, you know, we're not trying to say, we can't get ahead of ourselves and say, yeah, you know, the whole Vinicius Ballon de Oro and Vinicius and all this stuff. Of course, we as Madridistas, we get excited about it. But he is currently in a good run of form. He is scoring. He looks confident. He looks stronger. I still feel like he's definitely his fitness. He's working. He's doing something because he's definitely, he looks more physically strong. He looks more confident. He looks hungry. He looks like he's ready to score. Maybe it's the fact that Mbappe could possibly come that he's worried about. Maybe the fact that he has to fight for his spot also with the likes of Eden Hazard, who Eden Hazard is now back, who also looked, I think, looked hungry and looked determined today as well, which was another great sight to see. But they, you know, it's just Vinicius just has looked phenomenal. I mean, Benzema scores the first and the second goal. The second goal was a beautiful cross that we would usually see from the likes of Marcelo, now coming from our left back, our 21-year-old left back in Miguel Gutierrez, who I think made up for some of the defensive errors he had throughout the game, earlier in the game, more than made up for it by that beautiful pass he made to Benzema, for Benzema to score what was just another beautiful header from Benzema to tie up the game 2-2. Then Vinicius obviously scores an amazing goal. You know, a Benzema unleashes him with a through ball. Vinicius goes, just runs at it. His pace was, you know, his pace throughout the entire game was insane. You know, the way he was able to fight off defenders, I think he was making Hugo Mayo's life absolutely miserable for Celta Vigo. And Hugo Mayo is a hothead. You know, we've seen that from him before. But Vinicius was making his life miserable on that left-hand side. And essentially, he goes for that. He goes on that run, you know, all the way to the defense, and basically very calmly slots the ball past the keeper, something that we would maybe not have seen in the past. He would have gotten nervous. He would have gotten maybe tried something else, maybe tried maybe one more dribble than he needed to, one more enganche, you know, one more play, one more trick up his sleeve in order to get past the goalie. But no. A lot of the things come from what we have already heard, which is that Carlo Ancelotti has told him to not worry so much, not dribble so much, not worry, you know, 1-2 touches and then go for the goal. And that was what he was doing today, you know, and he would just shimmy his way past every single defender, every single time there was a defender on him, he was able to get past him or he was able to draw a foul. You could see it in the morale when he gets the final penalty that essentially gives us the 5-2 win and gives Benzema his hat trick. You could see he's actually coming up the right hand side, which is something that both him and Eden Hazard were doing the entire game, was switching the wings. They were either going to the left or the right. And in this case, Vinicius was on the right hand side. He runs at the defense. I think it was Denis Suarez was the one that was there trying to stop Vinicius. Vinicius, you know, jukes left, basically go, you know, tips his shoulder, jukes left, jukes right, makes it seem like he's going to go right, actually goes left. And then Denis Suarez tries to take the ball away from him and ends up just catching Vinicius clear as day for a penalty. And you could see the morale from his face was, we just can't stop this guy. You know, we can't stop this guy. And you could see it right there and then and there. He knew it was a penalty. He raised his hands in the air. Denis Suarez raised his hand in the air knowing that it was full on a penalty. And Vinicius knew he won that penalty. And then Benzema slots it home, gets it the hat trick. In a lot of ways from... Well, not in a lot of ways, because of Vinicius' hard work. And this is going back to last season when there was that conversation between Mendy and Benzema, which I think could have, for many players, might have broken some players, you know? It could have broken some players where they felt like, you know, the leader of the team or one of the top players in the team, one of the top strikers in the world, doesn't trust me enough to even pass the ball to me, which happened a lot during last season. From Benzema, where he definitely did not, there were times where it didn't seem like he was confident whatsoever in Vinicius. The funny thing is, It is. Now he's got 100% faith in him. They're linking up beautifully, and they both are playing off each other. And essentially, in this case, again, you know, Benzema got the hat trick because Vinicius was able to win that penalty. And throughout the game, he was making plays. I mean, it was a phenomenal performance from Vinicius, a phenomenal performance from Benzema. And then also, you know, the fourth goal was a beautiful run just right down the middle. Amazing work from Luka Modric. He tries to three-toe hit the ball with the outside of his foot to score it. It bounces off the goalkeeper. And who runs in at that point is none other than the man making his debut. Not even the man, the kid making his debut. 18-year-old Eduardo Camavinga had just jumped in, and he scores a goal on his debut. So it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal end to what started out sort of iffy. I would say it started out shaky. Once again, you know, the five goals that we scored should not gloss over the fact that there are defensive issues that need to be fixed. But the fact is that coming from a season where all of us, where Real Madrid could not score goals, and this is what I was telling you guys last season. I mean, if you guys listened to my podcast last season, I was saying, you know, Benzema had nobody else scoring goals for him. I mean, it was either Casemiro or Sergio Ramos at that time scoring goals. There was no help from the wings whatsoever. It was just a strange, messed up season full of injuries, full of COVID situation, playing without the fans. There was a lot of things going on. The players that were expected to shine were not shining. Essentially, guys like Vinicius, essentially Rodrigo being injured, Valverde was injured. Marco Asensio has not found his form. All these guys that were supposed to be the new blood were not getting goals, were not pulling their weight or assisting the way they needed to. And now we're seeing the opposite end of that. We are now starting to see goals coming from every direction. We are starting to see goals coming from Vinicius. We are starting to see goals coming from Benzema. Now we had Camavinga. You know, there are goals coming from a lot of our play, from Bale. You know, there were goals coming from our wingers, which needs to happen in order to assist somebody like Benzema, who is always picking up the bulk of the scoring situations, you know. So, but him getting, you know, Vinicius making these plays and getting into positions that can make things rough for the defense and allow Benzema to get into space and score, or find space and score, giving the defenses things to think about. Because what was happening last season is that I think as teams realized that Real Madrid was going through a rut and was not able to score, and that the only person they really needed to cover was Benzema, because the whole strategy at that point was cross it to him or feed it to him, or, you know, if the wingers get it, they're going to lose the ball, they're not going to be able to score, and what they're going to try to do is cross it into Benzema. It became predictable in a sense, you know. And what we're seeing now is that it's those players are finally responding. Those players are finding their, I don't know, could it be Zidane? I mean, I think Zidane was doing everything he needed to do. I mean, the team did amazing things last season, regardless of the fact that they were suffering through injuries. Now the guys look healthy. Now they look motivated. It seems like things are back on track. Maybe it was an injection. Maybe they did need an injection of somebody new. You know, maybe they did need that, you know, that break away from things, from Zidane's tactics or whatever. Not to say that Zidane was bad. I think Zidane was absolutely phenomenal. I think for me, it was like the bigger picture was, again, that there was so much extracurricular stuff going on, injuries and problems and just players not playing well and not in form. Maybe they needed a breather. They just needed something new, and Carlo Ancelotti is bringing something new. Whether that's, you know, his way of behaving, whether it's his way of coaching, whether it's his man management, whether it's the fact that he brought in, you know, Pintus to come in and be train these guys and be on top of them, you know, all of those things could essentially be the reason that we're starting to see everything mesh well. But it's also because they're healthy, you know. It's also because they're healthy. Injuries are a thing of the past. You know, well, not a thing of the past. I mean, we still have players that are out due to injury. But, you know, some of those things are kind of have gone away a little bit, you know, or at least seemingly feel like they're going away. There seems to be maybe a renewed, I would say, drive from the players, maybe a renewed sense in the entire club that something new is coming, whether that is, you know, obviously bringing in guys like Camavinga, Miguel Gutierrez, these youthful players coming in. You know, the fact that some of the old guard has kind of had to step aside. And I mean by Marcelo and obviously Sergio Ramos leaving. So these guys know they have to pick up the slack. But it could be that they feel that there's a confidence in a lot of them, that some of these younger guys, that this is a revolutionizing or a revolutionary Madrid, a Madrid that is changing. And I think it's important. It's important for people like Modric. It's important for people like Kroos. It's important with people like Benzema to be sort of, while they are, yes, they are the guys that are sort of getting older, or in the case of Modric, obviously could be in his final season, but those guys imparting their knowledge and experience onto these younger guys, but then also having a coach that believes in these younger guys, that believes in their talent, and then having the older guys also believe in their talent and also just kind of all the pieces come together correctly, that stuff is super important. And I think we're starting to see all of that. It's almost like the non-football factor is playing a role as well. You can call it luck, you can call it chemistry, you can call it just, I mean, I don't think it's luck. I mean, I think it goes down to chemistry and just working together and consistently working together. And then also feeling a renewed sense of, hey, we're going to try and do this year. We're going to be better. We're going to do this. We're going to change this up. You know, could be Vinicius focused on his own personal. I think we heard he worked with a mental coach and things like that. You know, we've heard those different stories from players that have worked with mental coaches and things like that, in order to maximize, not only their physical abilities, but also, you know, be able to deal with the pressure. And it seems whatever it is, it's working. You know, these players, they look, Vinicius looks phenomenal. Benzema, he looks like he's the best he's ever been. Modric, of course, the exact same thing. Kroos, can't wait to see him back. I think we're going to be even more dangerous with them. Where I think it's going to be the difficult spot, again, is the defense. Look, if we're going to go for Mbappe in January, like if January is the idea is to sign this guy to a pre-contract to possibly bring him sometime in June, I would say that the money that we saved by not splashing $223 million on this guy, or $220 million, or whatever the final number was, really, the fact that we didn't splash all that money on him needs to be invested in bringing in a center back that has some sort of, you know, that has, you know, that is a you know, that it has experience, or, you know, is of a higher level. You know, we have to go in for, I don't know if it's a Pau Torres, if it's a Jules Koundé, or Wesley Fofana, who just basically said, you know, that it's a dream for him to play with Madrid. I mean, these are all talented guys. You know, it could be interesting, but we need somebody else there to plug up those holes or to try them out in order to see if we're going to have more defensive stability. It could be that I'm wrong, though. It could be that, you know, it's too early to tell. And if Mendy does come back and we play him as a center back and we play Alaba as a left back and we play with Nacho and we play with Carabajal and all these guys, and these guys start meshing well, then that our defense starts meshing well and gets better. But right now, it is an issue. And it is an issue, once again, that I repeat, we cannot gloss over it. We cannot just push it to the side simply because Real Madrid scored 5 goals today, you know? Because those 2 goals, I mean, it was 2 goals. Those 2 goals could be costly in another situation if you are not able to claw your way back and score 5 goals. You know, if Vinicius is having an off day, if Benzema is having an off day, if our goal scorers are having an off day, which happens in football and could happen later on in the season, we could not afford to be conceding 2 goals. Or like Levante, conceding 3 goals, that you have to claw your way back to get a draw against a team like Levante, all due respect to Levante, but against a team that on paper, Real Madrid should be beating. You know, because what happens is you cannot concede 3 goals against Levante. You can, let's say you can afford to concede 3 goals against Levante because more than likely you'll be able to score 3 or 4 goals on them. You can maybe afford to concede 2 goals against Celta de Vigo because more than likely you'll be able, and based on what we saw today, more than likely you'll be able to score 5 goals on them. But as the teams get better in the Champions League, and I'm not saying we're going to win the Champions League, but why not? You know, we always want to go for everything. You know, as the teams get more difficult, you cannot afford to concede goals like that, you know? You cannot afford to concede. And that's why I'm thinking it's going to be important to see how we do against Valencia. Not because I don't feel like we can beat Valencia and we can score against Valencia, but Valencia has always been one of those teams that causes Real Madrid problems, especially at Mestalla, especially now that they're going to have fans back. You know, Real Madrid has always had trouble with Valencia. Valencia is looking good right now. They are looking like they can score goals. So if we are able to maintain our defensive, be solid defensively and not concede against Valencia, then I think we will really be, that's going to be one of our first tests really against a team that is scoring goals, you know, and that is looking in good form currently, at least that for the time being. And that's why that is going to be important for us. And so, you know, because then moving on from there, obviously, you're going to have the likes of Atletico, you're going to have the likes of Barcelona, you're obviously going to have the likes of Inter. We're playing Inter and Shakhtar and Sheriff, I guess. Those are the teams that we're going to be dealing with in the Champions League, which I think we should be able to do fine against. But it's just can't afford to be conceding goals. And, we want to see more defensively from them. Because we're getting the goals, and it would be great for everything to be sort of tied together. And it doesn't mean we're going to be scoring 5 goals on everything. It doesn't, you know, sometimes we might win a game by the skin of our teeth like we did last season, 1-0, 2-0. But it's easier to win those games 1-0, 2-0 if there's a confidence in your defense. And there is none right now. I think there's not a lot of confidence in our defense, at least that we're not going to be able to hold a result if the game is not going exactly in our direction. Like if we're up 1-0, how confident are we going to be able to hold that result? If we're winning 2-0, how confident are we going to be that we could hold on and not get scored on, you know? Because right now that is what is looking like the problem. And Sergio Ramos being out, I mean, being gone, I guess, not out, gone. Sergio Ramos being gone, I mean, I don't, It's one of the issues. Then Baran, of course, I think. So you lose 2 of your main center backs. Sergio Ramos would be out anyway right now. I mean, he's not in physical shape. He's not even playing with PSG. Baran, on the other hand, you know, I think, you know, there was a lot of stuff said about Baran, after the 2019 Champions League, you know, where we lost to Manchester City and he made 2 grave mistakes that ended happened to have us lose out on that chance to progress further in the tournament. But I mean, he still was always the very quiet, very reliable, most, I would say the majority of the time, extremely reliable player. And his leadership and his, not so much, I don't know, I mean, he wasn't that really that much of a vocal guy, but the leadership, the experience he showed is something that we're seeing somewhat lacking right now. I think Nacho has that experience. I think Nacho is an experienced player. I think he is also a gritty player, a strong player. However, I just don't, right now, it seems like he's not entirely, both of them are not entirely meshed well. And Militao just is not looking as good as he's looked in the past. And that is an issue. I mean, people could talk all the crap they want about Vallejo and stuff like that, but we don't know what he's going to look like with the team. And until he, I mean, obviously you don't want to run the risk of putting him in and then he completely shits the bed, but he's a Real Madrid player, so who knows what could happen, you know? Could he really change our minds? But we're not going to know that. And then, you know, and I don't think people trust in that actually happening. So I would say, you know, we have to also go, like, as people have been saying, is like, we have to go back and during this transfer window in winter, we have to try and go back and I think we have to try at least to get another center back. Who knows if it's even in the plans for Florentino and you know, everybody there. But I think, you know, unless these guys start showing some improvement, it's going to be something that a lot of people are going to be talking about. But that's it. That's all I have to say, guys, today. I mean, there's I really just wanted to talk about the game. It looks, like I said, fantastic. Fantastic by our forwards and fantastic from our midfield. Great to see Camavinga score on his debut. Another player that I'm really happy to see coming to the team. He seems to really, you know, just relish in the fact that he's at Madrid, wants to play for Madrid. He is a talent that everyone has been looking at, and there's a reason for that. So hopefully he continues to grow at Real Madrid. And then, you know, Vinicius, my God, Vinicius and Benzema, I mean, those guys, Valverde, Modric, I mean, we have such a solid team, guys. I mean, yes, we are waiting on guys possibly like Mbappe and Haaland and maybe Pogba coming to the team, but we have a core group of guys that are just, that can do it. We just have to iron out some of those details. But right now, you know, we're leaders in La Liga. You know, yes, what is it? Barcelona and now Sevilla have a game in hand because their game was postponed. But still, if we continue on this and they play each other, one of them is going to, you know, they play each other. So one of them is going to fall out of the chase with us, at least for the time being. So we'll have to see what happens. But right now, I mean, I'm happy about the team. I'm happy what we have. I'm enjoying the football I'm seeing. It's defensively I'm worried, but scoring-wise, I'm not. And I think we have a lot of stuff, a lot of talent to continue to go forward and to do some big things this season. I mean, whether it's going for the Copa del Rey, going for La Liga, maybe the Champions League is going to be tough, but who knows? You know, you never know. We'll see what happens. But that's pretty much what I got for you guys. I mean, you know, thank you again for listening. Remember to follow on where I'm most active is on Twitter, which is E Nada Más Podcast on Twitter. We are on Facebook as well at E Nada Más Podcast, and we are on Instagram at YNM Podcast. You can catch us if you are watching right now on YouTube. You can catch the audio version of the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, TuneIn, pretty much wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us there. So, and if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please, guys, make sure to leave us a rating. Please make sure to leave us a comment. You know, a comment and a rating goes a long way to helping us rise up in the ranks on the library that is Apple Podcasts and continue to grow. So that would be really helpful, you guys, if you could do that for us. That would be awesome. You know, that's pretty much all we ask. I mean, that's it. So thank you very much for that, guys. Thank you very much for listening. If you are listening to the audio version of the podcast and want to catch the video version of the podcast, then please check us out on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Look up Y Nada Más Podcast. You will find us there. And also look up the other channel that I am working on, which is Real Madrid Hub, where I am posting daily news from Real Madrid. And that's pretty much it, guys. Thank you again for listening. I really appreciate it. And we really appreciate it here. You know, it's awesome to talk to you guys and to also interact with you guys on Twitter. So catch us there, and we will have another podcast sometime next week, or maybe after the Inter game. I'm thinking about doing one there if I have time. If not, it will be next weekend, of course, for the next podcast. But thank you guys again for listening. I really appreciate it. Talk to you all again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.